I speak to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. In every life, there's a time to stay and a time to go. No, I'm not going. But clearly for Joseph, it was time to go. Another of his strange dreams had colored the night sky of his mind. And this time the dreamy voice charged, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there till I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph and Mary and Jesus headed off to Egypt, refugees from a cruel tyrant. This was not the first time Egypt had opened its sanctuary to the children of Abraham. Long ago, another Joseph, also a dreamer, brought his family to the safety and plenty of Egypt, where they stayed and prospered. In time, sanctuary soured into slavery, until God delivered his people out of Egypt. This new Joseph knew all the stories of his people, and he hoped that Egypt would be safe and kind to his wife and son. Anxious about the journey, he decided it was time to go. Every time I hear a Bible story, I wonder why it was remembered and preserved. You know, a living community rehearses many stories, and the ones it preserves are kept alive for a reason. So why did the church treasure this story of the flight to Egypt and the return to Nazareth? I suspect the followers of Jesus were intrigued by a Savior who became a refugee at his birth. As the mystery of the suffering and death were faced, God must have seemed vulnerable. A Messiah who would suffer death might easily have started life out seeking refuge in a strange land. And since Egypt keeps being found as a place of refuge, Matthew cannot be faulted for routing the story of salvation through the land of the Pharaohs. Not only did ancient Joseph land in Egypt, but Jeremiah the prophet, whom we heard this morning, was taken to Egypt for his protection. And Hosea's allegory of God's restoration of Israel's infidelity includes a reminder that out of Egypt had come deliverance. By the time of Jesus, there was an active and scholarly Jewish community in Egypt. So why would God not call the Savior out of Egypt, reasoned Matthew? So the story is told. The map of human yearning is streaked with the sad journeys of refugees from the darkest tyranny. They're still moving today. Almost 40 years ago, I heard the Bishop of Northern Uganda tell the terrible tale of his escape from Uganda during the tyranny of Idi Amin. Miraculous assistance had helped his family survive. His heart was still heavy and his voice trembling with the pain of exile and the love of his people as he told his story to us. They made him go. It was time for him to go so he would survive and return when the tyrant was gone. Deciding whether to stay or go must be the hardest decision we can ever make. And most of us will have no angelic messenger to lean on. The brilliant Lutheran pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer watched in terror and anxiety as the church in Germany was sucked into the nationalist racial hysteria of Hitler's Reich. Eventually, Bonhoeffer aligned himself with a decreasing minority resisting the Nazification of the church. He became the leader of this faithful minority, and in 1939, Bonhoeffer was urged to accept invitations to teach in Britain and America. In every life, there's a time to stay and a time to go. And with a heavy heart, Bonhoeffer agreed to go. But without angelic advice, Dietrich went only on faith. On the ship to America, he wrote to his friends, "Great programs always simply lead us to where we are, But we ought to be found only where God is. We can no longer, in fact, be anywhere else than where He is. Whether it is you working over there or I working in America, we are all only where God is. He takes us with Him. Or have I, after all, avoided the place where He is? The place where He is for me? No, God says, thou art my servant. In Egypt, Joseph became homesick finally. And a man of dreams must have wondered, have we avoided the place where God is? Then one night his dreams returned, and the messenger said, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And so Joseph and Mary and Jesus left Egypt and returned to Nazareth. Ironically, of course, as the church knew and we know, those who sought the child's life were not dead. They would rise up in a generation to come and finally kill the child, now grown to manhood. But that is yet to come. For now, the Holy Family found safety in Galilee. After a few short months in America, Bonhoeffer decided to go back to Germany. As he wrote to his friend Reinhold Niebuhr, at Union Seminary, I have made a mistake coming to America. I must live through this difficult period in our national history with the Christian people of Germany. I will have no right to participate in the reconstruction of Christian life in Germany after the war if I do not share the trials of this time with my people. Christians in Germany will face the terrible alternative of either willing the defeat of their nation in order that civilization may survive, or willing the victory of their nation and thereby destroying our civilization. I know which of these alternatives I must choose, but I cannot make that choice in security. So Bonhoeffer went home, was eventually imprisoned, and in the spring of 1945, he was executed. In every life, there's a time to stay and a time to go. That must be true in the life of God, thought the church. So they kept alive the story of a family of refugees. Don't let the child die at birth. He has work to do. Go to Egypt and be safe for now. But please come back and face the conflict. For God did not come to be safe, but to save the world. Amen.